Scott Bessent had a busy week at the G20 Finance Ministerial in Asheville, North Carolina, and I want to take both of his major statements seriously because they are analytically interesting even where they're diplomatically provocative. First, he said Iran's economy could collapse within weeks under the weight of expanded sanctions. He was pressing G20 partners to join what the Treasury Department is calling Operation Economic Outcast. Second, he called the Strait of Hormuz worthless and claimed pipelines would bypass it within 2 years.
Let me take the Hormuz claim first because it's the one that generated the most immediate reaction in energy markets, and it deserves scrutiny. Approximately 20% of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz. Every major tanker route from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq, the UAE, and Iran itself transits those 33 miles of water, saying it's worthless and that pipelines will replace it in 2 years is an extraordinary claim that Bessent offered without specifying which pipelines, which routes, which construction timelines, or which financing mechanisms.
The existing bypass infrastructure, Saudi Arabia's east-west pipeline to Yanbu, for example, has been around for decades and handles roughly 5 million barrels per day at full capacity. The total Hormuz flow is roughly 21 million barrels per day. You cannot build pipeline capacity to close that gap in 2 years. It's physically impossible at current construction rates. So either Bessent knows something about specific projects that he didn't disclose at the G20, or this was a confidence projection statement designed to influence Iran's negotiating psychology rather than an accurate description of logistics.
The collapse timeline for Iran's economy is the second claim worth examining carefully. Iran has been under sanctions since 1979, inches various configurations, with the most aggressive regime since 2018. Its economy has shown a persistent capacity to find workarounds, through Chinese purchases of discounted oil, through intermediary networks in the UAE, through cryptocurrency mechanisms. Within weeks is a very specific claim, and Treasury would need to have already identified and blocked those alternative channels for that timeline to be credible.
What may be more operationally significant is the domestic picture inside Iran. Reports this week indicate that various factions within Iran's power structure are openly defying Supreme Leader Khamenei, and Trump publicly declared the Iranian regime in total disarray. The factionalism is real. The question is whether it produces collapse or adaptation. Historically, external military and economic pressure has often unified Iranian factions around the supreme leader rather than fracturing them. But the economic deterioration this time, with the rial at historic lows and inflation running above 60%, may be reaching a threshold where that pattern breaks.
What I find analytically important is the phrase Trump used, total disarray. That's a description of an adversary's internal condition that, if accurate, changes the strategic calculations significantly. A regime in genuine disarray is both more dangerous in the short term, because decision-making becomes unpredictable, and potentially more amenable to a settlement, because hardliners lose their veto power. The U.S.-Iran military exchanges that resumed over the weekend are running parallel to this political fragmentation, and that combination is what's driving oil markets.
The USS Abraham Lincoln docking in Thailand after a record 250 days at sea connects here. That's the longest continuous deployment for a carrier strike group in modern history, and it reflects the operational tempo of U.S. naval commitments in the Indo-Pacific and the Persian Gulf simultaneously. The Navy is stretched. And that's a real constraint on how long the United States can maintain the current posture without rotating additional assets, which has its own costs and signals.
Joe Rogan's comment that Trump renamed Lake Ontario to distract from the Iran war is worth noting too, not because the geopolitical analysis is precise, but because it reflects a genuine public perception that's worth tracking. When one of the most listened to voices in American media frames a symbolic renaming decision as distraction from a shooting conflict with Iran, it says something about where the public conversation is landing.
It also says something about the information environment around the Iran conflict. If the administration's communication strategy is generating skepticism about motive rather than confidence in direction, that's a political challenge regardless of how the military operation itself is proceeding.